This is Jack Huber with a reading from my latest Pat Ruger book, Oblivion Highway. We were told to bunk down, but before heading for a room, I tore off a few pages from Pauline's tablet and shoved them and a pencil into my pocket. Everyone was coupled up except for me and Jordan. "I guess I have a bunkmate now," said Jordan. "I like sleeping alone, actually." We ducked behind the tarp and found cots along the two side walls, each with a flat pillow and a blanket. "Where are the showers and the bathrooms?" Jordan answered quietly, "Keep it down. There's a toilet in the room on the end. No door, though. Twice a week we get to go upstairs and take a shower. There's no way to escape. They have too many people watching up there." "Why'd they take you? You seem younger than the rest." "I think they're getting desperate for workers. That's the only thing I could figure." I whispered, "What about outside? Do you ever go outside?" "Every Sunday they take us all out for a walk around the yard. We're out for about an hour, I'd say, and then we're herded back inside." "No talking," one of the gunmen yelled. "Go to sleep." The lights were still on in the main room, I assumed so that no one could sneak around without being seen, but it made enough light in the bunk room to read if someone wanted to. I took out the paper and pencil and wrote, "Has anyone tried to escape?" I handed the pencil to Jordan and he wrote, "Just one since I've been here. He's not here anymore. Don't know what happened to him." I took back the pencil but paused to think. If we were to do something, it would have to be outside. It was Friday, so two more days until they took us out. I thought about Jordan being the youngest of the captives by far and wrote, "Can you run?" He nodded. "Outside then on Sunday," I added. "That's when we'll do it." He gave a puzzled look. "Don't worry," I whispered. "We'll talk tomorrow." I shoved the paper and pencil in a pocket and we both lay down. I didn't sleep at all, but Jordan seemed to have no problem. An alarm sounded and I could hear a lot of stirring in the main room, along with the toilet flushing several times. We left the bunk room and joined everyone at the tables. Evidently, there was no breakfast served. Music came back up. It was California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas. I was set up with my own production space, and I spent the morning working and planning Jordan's escape. I thought about Guy and hoped he was okay. Looking around the room, everyone seemed thoroughly resigned to their existence here. There was almost no discussion between them, even between couples, and every face had a similar look of sadness and concentration on the job at hand. Just getting through each day, I imagined, one day at a time. The lone exception was an elderly African-American couple on the far end of the room. They seemed happy to be together. In the lunch line, I took the opportunity to talk to Jordan briefly to let him know I had a plan, and then we split up so there would be no suspicion about our collusion. The rest of the day went by without incident other than my getting awfully tired of 70s pop music. Nighttime arrived, and I took out the fresh set of papers to give Jordan the particulars about the following day in the yard. He seemed agreeable, though there was some risk to both of us. The next morning was a repeat of the previous day, except after lunch we were taken outdoors. Daylight was bright, and it took several minutes for my eyes to adjust enough to see without straining. There were the four armed guards and Buck standing watch as we started walking around the house. I didn't see the farmer or the kid anywhere. When I got close enough to Buck, I asked him, "How's the kid? Did he make it?" Buck smiled and said, "Yeah, thanks. He's going to be okay." "Good," I said, and continued on. I heard barking just then, and Guy came out of the forest towards me, tail wagging. "Stop," I called out, but a gunshot stopped him in his tracks with a yelp. He wasn't killed, thankfully, but was hurt, and another gunshot made him run in the other direction, ears down and squealing. "Next time that dog comes around, kill it," one of the guards told the others. On the second rotation around the house, I managed to catch up with Jordan. He looked at me and nodded. "It was you," he yelled, and he hit me square in the jaw. "I knew my wife was seeing someone," he continued, and he hit me again. Each time I got up from the ground, he hit me again, and each time we got a little closer to the edge of the cleared property. I got back up and hit him, then tossed him out farther from the house. By the time the guards got to us, we were only about 10 yards from the woods. They pulled us away from each other, and while we were both struggling with them to get back to fighting, I started to fake some convulsions. I didn't know how real they would look, but I gave it everything I had. "He needs his Valpo something for his seizures," Buck shouted toward the house. As I curled and tensed my arms and legs, along with spitting up some foam from my mouth, people gathered around me. I started making some gurgling sounds and noticed Jordan slipping away into the trees. Someone came running out with my medication, and Buck took it and brought it over to me. It was an injection that I didn't want, so I let him get close and then writhed and jerked at him, and the syringe went flying. He came close again, and this time his gun was within reach. I grabbed it, and I stood up, pointing it right at his face.